So this morning, normally in our church, if you're new here, we take communion, celebrate the Lord's Supper the first Sunday of every month. And that's a part of our service that we have included. But what I want to do today, and I know some of you are like, Ed, you're off a week. I know I am. Because specifically today, we want to take time and we want to make sure everybody understands why we do this, why this is important, and then we're going to take this together this morning. So I want to take a Sunday and just kind of, for a moment, hit the pause button so that we all understand why we do what we do and how important it is what we do, and then be able to take that together and celebrate all that God has done for us. Because it's just true, most of us never take time to slow down and reflect. We just don't. We have no time in our calendar to do this. There's no space for this. We just don't take time. And what's odd is we used to, at least that was my experience growing up, that we used to have these times built in where we would do this. Memorial Day was one. Okay, I don't know if you grew up this way, but our experience was every Memorial Day, right, we had to go and visit the grave sites of all sorts of different relatives that I don't remember, never met, right? And you'd get all these stories, and you would hear all these things about their lives and their journey and the things that happened in their life. But most of us, we don't do that anymore, right? We're just busy. We've got all these other things in our life. In fact, as we get closer to the holidays, which used to be a family gather and reflect and remember, everybody says they're stressed out. They're like, oh no, the holidays are coming. We're all stressed out over all the preparations and all the things that have going on. And we miss this time to slow down and reflect. And I think it's true in church as well, that we just miss that time to slow down and stop and reflect. Because most of you are like, come on, Ed, let's go. 11 o'clock's coming, right? I got stuff to go. I got places to go, things to do. And we're just that way. We are so scheduled. We are so busy that we just rarely take time to slow down and reflect. And really what this is a time to do that, built into our church, built into the early churches we're going to see today, that should take place on a regular basis so that we know we need to slow down and we need to reflect on what Christ has done for us. Now, I also admit that at times, communion can be confusing. It can, okay? So I'll tell you my story, and I have no idea where I came up with this, okay? But I grew up in church, and I thought, and I have no idea again where I came up with this, I thought you had to be baptized before you could take communion, okay? And if you've ever had one of those conversations, the parents in the room understand this, I remember when my mom told me that wasn't true, and I went, what? Why didn't you tell me that? Well, why didn't you ask? Well, why didn't you tell me that? Well, why didn't you ask? Okay? Ever been in one of those exchanges, parents? I had no idea. I have no idea where I got it. I didn't read it in the Bible anywhere. I just came up with this idea. So for the biggest part, right, that just wasn't a part of my thing because I wasn't baptized until much later in my journey with Christ. That was my experience. So I understand that for some of us, we can be confused. Okay, who can take it, who can't? What is it all about? And so I want to kind of cut through all that. Just give us a refresher course, a reminder course, and for some of you, just to be reminded brand new of what this experience is all about. So communion began all the way back in the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, when the people of Israel were led out by Moses from Egypt. That's where Passover began. That was the holiday the Jewish people were supposed to celebrate every year at the same time. They're supposed to celebrate this thing called Passover. And Passover was about the final plague that it took to, in order for God's people to be let go from Egypt. And if you remember that one, if you've ever studied that one, in the book of Exodus, it talks about that Pharaoh kept saying, no, you can't leave, you can't leave. And God kept sending plagues, and they got worse and worse and worse. And finally, the last one was that the oldest male in the family was killed. Unless you followed God's instructions. God's instructions were you took a lamb, you killed that lamb, you took the blood of that lamb and you put it on the doorpost of your house. And if you did that, then the oldest male in your family child was spared. If not, there was great loss. And there was great mourning in Egypt when it didn't happen, when all these people didn't follow God's commands, didn't do it, and lost their firstborn son. And God's people were let go. And God said, you're going to forget this, right? God's smart. He's going, you're going to forget this unless you do this every year. So every single year, they celebrated Passover and they remembered what God did. Fast forward to Jesus. Jesus grows up celebrating Passover every year. In fact, he would go to Jerusalem every year because we have a story early on that when he was young and went to the temple, went to Jerusalem for Passover, his parents forgot him there, okay? And they're going back home going, uh-oh, we lost somebody. This is terrible, right? And that's what happened. But that's just so we know, they celebrated Passover every single year. Jesus did the same thing. Until the last Passover, when he gathered with his disciples in a place called the upper room, and he took those elements that the disciples grew up taking every year, Passover, that Jesus grew up every year taking, and he changed everything. He changed everything by taking that Passover table and saying, now, it'll all be completed. It will all be completed. It'll all be done in me. And so guess what happens? Jesus rises from the dead. The early church continued the taking of these two simple elements to reflect and remember. Just like God saying, okay, you're going to forget this unless you do Passover all the time. The early church gathered and they took these two elements, the cup and the bread, so that they didn't forget what Jesus had done. And we continue that tradition 2,000 years later of taking these two simple elements so that we remember and that we stop and we pause so that we reflect and remember on what Jesus has done for us. That's why this is really important that we just remember that this is what it's about so that we stop and reflect about it. So, you need to know this too because we're not alone in this. That many generations have struggled to take time to remember and reflect. In fact, when the church veers off and it begins to stop following Jesus and begins to go to rules and other things, this table gets affected by it. Now, we're going to see one of those cases in Scripture this morning, but I want you to know of another one. Ever heard of this phrase, hocus pocus? Okay, you're like, well, isn't that something you hear from David Copperfield, not from the local pastor, right? Hocus pocus is kind of a magic term that you've probably heard about. That's not where it got its origins. In fact, you can Google this and it will tell you that it is a negative way to talk about communion, okay? But it didn't start that way. It started because priests figured out they could take that whole phrase. You know that phrase that I tell you every time we take it? This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. This is my blood, which has been shed for you. Take this in remembrance of me. They took that entire Latin phrase and condensed it into two words, hocus pocus. And priests could do communion really fast, okay? If you narrowed it all down to two words, you could do it really, really fast. And then from there, it really continued on to be a very negative thing towards communion, and it actually stopped, and nobody ever does it anymore. But that's where it came from. That, man, we got to get this thing over. This has got to be quick. This has got to be fast, you know. And so we took what's supposed to be a time to reflect and remember and made it really, really fast. And I want you to see that another place struggled with that. And it's the church in Corinth. In fact, Paul wrote several letters to them. We have two of them. 1st and 2nd Corinthians in your Bibles. And we're going to be looking at one of those because Paul talks about this very thing. What it means to come around God's table. What it means to take these two very simple elements. And in doing so, reflect and remember on everything that Jesus has done for us. And Corinth struggled with that. They struggled with many things. Asked Paul lots of questions. Paul, we don't understand this. We don't understand that. And somewhere along the line, he found out that when they gathered to do this, which probably was weekly, it was probably far more often than we even do it, they were having problems, and they were struggling with it. And so I want you to see, it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You can follow along the scripture, you can follow along on the screen, you can open up the Bible app and go to the events page, and all the scripture is listed for you there. Okay? And here comes Paul. When you meet together, and they met together every Sunday morning early. It was a work day, and they got up early, and they gathered, okay? when you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper. It says, when you take this, you're really not interested in it. For some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others, okay? It has become a selfish time, not a sharing time. It has not become a time where you reflect and remember. It's really become a time all about you. What happened? That's really what he's saying. What happened to you? This is not about you. This is all about Jesus. And it's supposed to lead us to Jesus and get us to reflect about Jesus and everything he has done in our lives. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. Why? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? That for some of these times, it became more about a bigger meal and celebrating communion. And they were leaving people out. He's like, you're disgracing the church. I mean, most of us don't think about that. That when I come and I'm just like, get this over with, take these two elements, how fast can we get this over with? I'm disgracing what God wants to do, and I don't want to do that, and you don't want to do that. But that's sometimes what we do when we get in a hurry, and we don't have time to reflect and remember because we're always about what's next, what's next, what's next. What am I supposed to say? Okay, this is not right. This is not going well. What do you want me to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly not praise you for this. Sorry, can't tell you get a gold star. It's not going that well, okay? I need you to change what you're doing. I need you to change how you approach this time. He looked at him and said, I need you to change the way that when it's time for this, you come thinking differently than you have before. Because they were just like us. They had busy lives, there's lots going on, and they just started taking this for granted. They started missing out on everything God wanted to do around this table. And I wonder this morning, how many of us have done the same thing? We just always do this, it always happens, here we go, and we just run through it, and it isn't a time to do just that. Reflect and remember on all Christ has done for us. So look what he does, he just goes back. For what I pass on to you, what I receive from the Lord himself. And you know what he does? He just goes back to that night. That Passover night where Jesus took those elements and changed everything. Changed the course of history when he did that. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. He broke it in pieces and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Just takes them back to that. Can I just take you back to that moment, Paul's saying? Because I think we just forgot about that. So all I'm telling you is what Jesus did at that start. It was Passover. The elements were on the table. He took the bread that they always thought represented something specific for the Passover. It was unleavened bread. It was just flat because they had to cook it fast because they were leaving Egypt. And he just took it and he said, this is going to be something different than it's ever meant before. And I'm sure his disciples are like, what are you talking about? This is your body, right? What are you talking about? This is your blood. And the next day they understood it fully when they watched him be crucified to the cross. And it all became real. Oh my goodness. And then when he rose again, it changed everything. And this became a part of celebrating all that Jesus had done for us. So he said, this is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He continues in the same way. He took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. It's an agreement. It is a covenant. Do you understand? We take this. This reminds us that salvation is from Christ, and that's a covenant. We don't have to worry about God saying, I don't know, I think you've been too bad this week. I think you're out. It's a covenant. God doesn't change his mind. He's made a covenant with us. He has sealed that with the blood of Jesus. That if we trust Jesus, we are forgiven. We are set free. We get to know God, find freedom, discover our purpose, and make a difference. We get to see all those things happen in our lives. And he says he's done that. He's made a covenant with us. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. And then he makes this statement, for every time. That's a big word. Every single time. Every first Sunday, right, at Thrive Church. Every time you eat this bread and you drink this cup, You are announcing the Lord's death until he comes. Wait a minute, I thought I was just taking 2 elements. No, you actually get to announce. Jesus died. He died for me. And I am forgiven because of that. You get to announce it until the day that he comes again. Or to the day you leave this earth. You get to announce that. We get to announce that as we are holding those 2 elements and we take it together. Every time we remember and reflect, we proclaim, we announce the Lord's death until he comes. Gee, I just thought I was taking a cup and a bread, right? That kind of impact, that type of announcing, that's what happens when we do this. So, now he's got to kind of change course a little bit. So, anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily. So you could be not a follower of Jesus, and we would say, that's okay. We are glad you're here because we want you to know what Jesus has done for you, that you could find salvation in him. But when we take this, we'd ask you not to take it. Why? Because you haven't found salvation in Christ. Okay? Is guilty of what? Sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Sometimes it's because we are just far from God, we're an absolute mess, we're stuck in sin, okay? And instead of finding forgiveness, we're like, I just want to go along with everybody else doing, so nobody knows anything is wrong with me, right? What have we talked about for 6 weeks before this? It's okay not to be okay, it's just not okay to stay that way. And sometimes we get caught and we get trapped in sin. And the thing that the enemy tries to get us to do all the time is cover it up, hide it. You don't want anybody to know, because if they know, they'll look at you differently, they'll treat you differently, and so we hide it instead of coming clean and finding forgiveness and finding freedom that Jesus has in store for us if we would do that. So he says, sometimes you come, and life's a mess, and your life's a mess, and you're stuck in sin, then don't take it. It's okay. It's okay. Because God would rather have you deal with what's going on in your life than just to go along with a ritual because everybody else is doing it. And he invites us to just think that way. It's okay. It's okay. Jesus is going to forgive us. We can ask him. He will forgive us. We can be set free. But he says, don't come and just do it because everybody else is doing it. Think differently. That is why you should, and he uses the word here, examine yourself before eating this bread and drinking this cup. In other words, what does he say? Just slow down. Just slow down for a moment and say, how am I doing? How am I doing? You're like, oh, I don't want that time. That's why I have earbuds in, right? I don't want any quiet time because quiet time makes me think, right? Quiet time makes me reflect. Quiet time, I hear maybe I should be doing the things I'm doing. Maybe I should get off this road I'm on and what that might lead to. And so we don't want examination. We don't want quiet time. We don't want reflection to be able to do that quite often. And yet Jesus says, this is really important. And Paul says, you ought to do that. Because it's not good enough to just do it. Why are you doing it? Well, I'm at church and everybody else is doing it, right? You know, it's that time, okay? It's that time every month where we do it. And sometimes that's what we end up doing. And we end up missing out on what Jesus wants to do for us as we take these elements, as we take these things and hold it together and then eat together and drink together. We just miss that because, well, we're just doing it because it's that time and everybody else is doing it, so I'm just going to join in. And I don't want you to miss how important it is that we think about what we are doing. And you know the why behind what you're doing. Because every time you take a cup and every time you hold the bread, it should be, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you for giving me forgiveness. Thank you for your covenant. Thank you for dying in my place and rising again for my salvation. So I would say we should do it to honor. We should do it to honor. We should do it to remember. Because why? We always forget important things. So it's important that things are built in so that we remember. We ought to do it to reflect. How am I doing? Where am I at? Am I being obedient to everything Jesus wants from me? Where are those areas I'm like, I don't care what the Bible says. I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. Right? I don't care what God has for me. I'm just going to live my own way. That's what we end up doing at times. Don't do that. Do it to reflect and remember and at times find forgiveness. Do it to proclaim. that in doing that, you are saying, Jesus died for my sins and he rose again for my salvation. Do you realize that Jesus welcomes all to his table who have made him Savior? He welcomes all to his table who have made him Savior. All are welcome. You don't have to be a member of this church, okay? You don't have to do any of that. All you have to do is, I have found Christ as my Savior. And you are welcome, Jesus says, at my table. So what I'd like to do for just a couple minutes this morning, okay, is give us that time just to be able to ask those questions and be able to pray before we take these elements and pass them out this morning and take them and eat together and drink together. So I'm going to ask if you would take a quiet moment and bow your heads and close your eyes. And this is what I would ask of you to do in these moments, okay? That you would thank Jesus for what he's done. That if you're not a follower of Jesus, we are so glad you are here. And you might consider in this time, what does it mean to follow Jesus? I admit that I'm a sinner. I confess my sins to him. I know that the cross is the answer. Not me being good, not me trying to do all the right things, but Jesus is the one that saves me. And you would think about what it means to be saved, and you would find salvation. For some of you, you've been following Jesus for quite a while, and the question you need to ask is, Jesus, am I still following you? Where am I not following you? Where am I just off in my life? And just take a moment and thank Jesus for what he has done. Thank him and ask him to help you to look at your heart and look at your life and ask how you're doing. And we're just going to be quiet for a couple minutes and give you an opportunity to do that.